Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go. All right, welcome into the BBP. Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, your Bengals beat writers from Cincinnati.com. That's Cincinnati Inquirer. How are we doing?
Good. We're back.
We're back at it. I'm happy that this is, although the London road trip will be a little bit farther to come back.
Yeah.
But we'll have a little bit of break between our next, like, struggle bus Monday late podcast. We record this late on Mondays. These are just long days. So you're gonna get us a little unfiltered here, which is probably for the best because the content is unfiltered coming out of the Bengals trip to New England. If any pickles on your sandwiches today, have you been able to steer clear?
Not today.
Not today.
Still angry from late Sunday night in New England, though. Massachusetts
doesn't understand your pickle problem.
No.
Which anybody who's listening to the podcast, though, does.
Yeah. Even our photographer, Sam Green, told her. I said, no pickles. And Sam's like, he's serious about this.
This is a big deal.
And you know, the top of the burger didn't have pickles. But the bottom bun. Sneaky.
Sneaky bottom bun. Don't do it.
Not do it.
Attention, Cincinnati restaurants. You do not want to feel the wrath.
No. Put it this way. I threw those pickles so far.
Tossed across the Red Robin.
They're going to find that stuff in like 3 days dripping down the side of the wall.
Oh, man. All right. We got plenty to get to that's not pickle related. So let's kind of line up what we've got here. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about Vontaze Burfict and the controversial play and reaction and national media attention. It only takes a little bit, and 55 is back in the viral news cycle. So we're gonna get into all the particulars of that. We're going to talk offensive line again, particularly the most drastic move that we've seen regarding that problem, which came on Sunday with the temporary benching of Cedric Obuehi, who's going to be plugged back into starter next week, but clearly salvo sent. And we'll get into some of the other particulars regarding fallout from the Bengals 35-17 loss in New England, one where they really had control.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, where they were doing everything right, and they came out in the second half and were doing everything right and appeared to be in position to shut everyone up and finally find a way to break through and get one of these big wins. And no one would have cared about Dallas.
No.
No one would have cared about Denver.
They would have been vaulted back to AFC title contenders beating New England at home.
If they would have won at New England, then be 3-3 and one game back of Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger with a torn meniscus.
Exactly. Narrative's completely different.
Narratives! But it doesn't matter.
Right.
Nope. Because the narrative is the same.
Yep.
It's the same narrative of the team falling apart in the fourth quarter, which we saw against Denver, which we saw in the first and second and third quarter against Dallas. And then we saw for every point from the safety on in the third quarter against the Patriots. So here they are. You know,
2-4.
Here they are, 2-4, and you start wondering. You know what we talked about before this: when you're 2-4,
The road to the playoffs is a long one.
Yeah.
Don't they have to kind of focus? I sort of was going through this with people on Twitter yesterday. I mean, don't they sort of – I think the North is the only route in. Not only, but the most likely.
Yeah, and it comes down to tiebreakers. I mean, look, Denver has kind of slipped a little bit with Trevor Siemian getting hurt. You know, 4-2, but they have a head-to-head. You know, if Oakland keeps pace, Kansas City 1-5 a year ago to make the playoffs. You kind of look around at those wild card options. Buffalo, while I'm not impressed, and I think the Bengals can beat them in Paul Brown Stadium in a few weeks.
That will be a big game.
Yeah, but you have to look at it. They've beaten New England. You kind of look at those AFC matchups. The AFC North, look, Ben Roethlisberger is getting that meniscus just removed. It's a quicker healing process than a full repair.
And you probably thought there was, I mean, more than likely they were going to lose to the Patriots anyway.
Yeah, so there's a real shot. Look, Baltimore is what I've said they were from the beginning.
Yeah, mediocre.
Trash.
And now injuries are piling up on them again.
So, look, the North is imminently gettable at 2-4. Especially if this team stacks wins like I think they can here in the middle of the season. But that's the thing, Paul. They got stacked wins.
They haven't stacked anything.
And
but
they haven't
else.
Done anything. And I guess here's the thing. And I'll be that guy, I guess, for this podcast. I saw Bengals offense to a point on Sunday. I saw an offensive line that did a okay job for the most part. I saw Cedric Oboye, yes, he had some issues early, but when all of a sudden they're pulling across and protections and Andy Dalton's moving, different formations, Giovanni Bernard split five wide to take advantage of matchups, eight receivers targeted and catching passes, effective running, not great running, but effective, third down conversions, overcoming a penalty or two, things that bogged this offense down early in the year I saw be better. Again, I understand the point, not scoring points, the main issue. I understand that. So I guess here's the thing where I'm going with that, Paul. The things that I think can win them games against Cleveland,
yeah,
Washington, Philadelphia, flawed teams, just like the Bengals, I guess I saw it for a half on defense.
Yeah.
Which is the more concerning thing. I mean, I don't know what's going on that side of the ball, to be honest.
Well, you wonder, I mean, how much is it that I don't know how anyone's going to cover Brady, Gronk, and Bennett this year?
But
it's, I think we're about to say the same
thing. Yeah.
Is it's not when they make great plays or great throws. I mean, the throw early in the first half when Brady hit a window the size of a penny, you know, he dropped the dime in there to Gronkowski right over Carlos Dansby being good coverage.
Right.
Yeah, that's Patriots being Patriots. Right. But the stuff you saw the second half, it almost looked like anybody. I mean, dude's just running free everywhere.
Yeah. That's what I don't understand.
Guys out of position, people just running wide open, chunk plays over and over and up the seams. I mean, that is just not stuff that you've seen from this defense. And what we say last week, the wide open holes and Ezekiel Elliott just running free, that's not stuff that you've seen from this defense.
Yeah. And honestly, you mentioned the wide open hole, and this is going to transition now into our other big topic of the day. I know fans want to hear is – you know, we talked a lot about the return of 55 and what he was going to mean. And look, he read the wrong thing on that play with Ezekiel Elliott. He was nowhere to be seen.
Yep.
Gone. Where was he? Read the wrong thing. Well, spin it forward. One of the biggest plays that got the Patriots rolling was 55 and 26, Josh Shaw, collapsing down on the running back. Somebody left Martellus Bennett wide open.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
getting lost against Gronkowski, getting turned
in coverage,
turned
and
all
just,
around in coverage.
You know, and then the now infamous play that everyone's talking about. Again, you know, Marvin Lewis said this. We'll hear from Marvin. You know, whatever the intent was on that play, Paul. I mean, you watch that play develop. the linebacker closed down on a tight end who was in Adam Jones, your Pro Bowl cover corner, was in perfect coverage.
He was standing right there.
And his decision, his read, whatever, however you want to view that, left the middle of the field wide open for Danny Amendola on with George Iloka, in, who's not going to win that. That's why that defense is set up to have the linebacker sitting right there.
Yep.
So Tom Brady can't throw it, or if he does, he can't throw it at that moment.
Instead, the linebacker was taking a shot at a guy's knees.
Yeah. So the guy that they laud for his football smarts and intellect and being able to help things out, I mean, we just mentioned three huge, what you would call smart football plays that weren't made in the last 2 weeks. And that just, you know, Josh Shaw had his issues again in coverage with tight ends. There was a big chunk play, you know, where he pushed Gronkowski basically right into his route into an open middle of the field.
Yep.
You know, so you're right, Paul. Just some things. I guess I'm the optimist that you – but again, as Marvin Lewis said, and Sunday night was just, you know, it's 6 to 7 plays every game. That's why you're 2-4.
That's a lot of plays.
It is
by
a
the
lot
way.
Of plays.
I mean, there's
only... it's hundreds of yards and touchdowns.
Yeah,
that's.
I mean, it's not like 6 to 7 plays is some minor number. I mean, in the course of a football game, that's huge. If you're losing by 6 to 7 plays, then you end up losing by 12 to 18 points, which is what's happened.
Yeah.
Which is what's happened. They've now lost by 44 points combined in their last three L's. And it was, so I went back and looked. If you look at the Marvin Lewis era, it's the second worst six-game start to the season in terms of point differential, minus 36 through six games. Second worst only to that awful boondoggle of a 2008 season when Ryan Fitzpatrick came in and took over and Carson Palmer was injured and they were winless when all Chad was all hell broke loose that year. Only that disaster year has been worse by point differential than the first six games this year. Now, there are no more New England's. There are no more Dallas's.
They went in
after going to Green Bay,
on the league's top rushing
defense.
They've
stomped
on
everybody. They've stomped on everybody, you know, now that they've got it rolling. And so there's no more Dallas's. There's no more New England's left on the schedule. You've got a Pittsburgh that who knows whatever. You get them coming to your house.
Way on the road.
Way on the road in your house. There's a lot of three and there's a lot of four and two teams on their schedule. Three and threes.
Yep.
These types of teams and a couple Clevelands. You know, and it's been said, pretty much everybody we've talked to said, yeah, well, the time to talk about making the run is officially over. There is no margin for error.
Yeah.
I mean, Marvin Lewis said it multiple times. You know, they've put their backs against the wall. You're facing the reality of somewhere in the area of 8-2, 7-3 down the stretch is the minimum that you need to do. And, you know, or else your streak of five straight trips to the playoffs is over.
Yeah.
So that's where you are. Is everybody have you taken your pills now? I mean, is everybody going to take their happy pills to try to perk up a little bit? Or I mean, it's rough out there right now. I didn't think that they would. You knew these were tough games and a tough start to the schedule. I thought they would pull out one or two of the tough games. We had them at 3-3.
We had them at 3-3, and you're right. What's a game? But in football, obviously, a game is a lot. And you know, maybe the Dallas loss is going to look better in 4 weeks if Dallas is sitting, you know, at whatever record. But you would have, again, Paul, this goes back to the defense in a way, and yes, the offense hasn't scored. But, like, Trevor Siemian and Dak Prescott, you're just looking at that wondering why couldn't they figure that out?
Yeah.
You know?
Siemian is the one that just kills you.
Yeah, that's especially the way they did it. Look,
even Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh
didn't play that well.
No. And they shut down. They did what they do. You know, they shut down
they got Pittsburgh
Antonio Brown
Le'Veon
and
Bell.
Le'Veon. Yeah.
And, you know.
That
so.
Stretch. Those three losses early where, yeah. But, that, you know, that's why you're 2-4.
That's why you're 2-4. Let's talk about the hot button topic here of this Vontaze Burfict hit on the knees. Let's get into this. So the play happens. You talked about it. Essentially, I'm assuming everyone listening to this has probably seen it. If you haven't, go to Cincinnati.com. It's in the story about Burfict and what Marvin Lewis said. So he it looked absolutely like a dirty cheap shot.
Yeah.
That's just, there's just no other way to say that that looks. I mean, it's a pump fake that you shouldn't even be going for in the first place. And if you are, why would you then dive and not be wrapping and just be going shoulder pad first directly into someone's knees?
Yeah.
Popped up, apologized to Martellus Bennett like somebody would if they realized, oh, no, I really shouldn't have done that because it's me. Right?
Yeah.
Who was getting caught up in a game that was growing chippy by the second.
Yeah.
And so then now you end up in this spot where you have a team having to figure out what to say to explain this.
Yeah, and I alluded to it early here, and that's the way, you know, it was described to us. You know, Coach Lewis, he called it a football decision. The linebacker bit on a pump fake, which Tom Brady had used throughout the game, and Marvin Lewis did say he's like his head's got to be up.
If that pump fake would have been an actual throw, it would have been pass interference by 2 seconds.
Yeah, well, you're right, Paul, and that's the thing. It's who it is.
Yep.
And you wrote about this. This was the cover story of our season preview on the new reality for Vontaze Burfict. You know, the team may bristle at, you know, him being sort of singled out in these, you know, zoomed in slow mode replays and vines and whatever. They may bristle at that. The talk show,
you know, right?
Filthy plays and dirty and fines and, but that's, you know, when you start this year suspended,
when you have 720K in career fines, including your suspension time, and you have been fined after 7 of the 50 games that you've played in. That's your reputation. That's
right.
That's why everyone is looking at it, and that's why we'll find out what happens.
Right.
Whether it's a fine, whether it's a suspension.
Right.
Mike Pereira on the Rich Eisen show on Monday basically saying the NFL doesn't have any guts. They don't suspend him another couple of games because, right, say, you know, your priors pile up, which is another conversation. I want to bring in Marvin Lewis talking about the hit. It's the one person that's been a voice of the team on this matter.
Yeah.
While really the rest of the national media has been sounded a lot like we just sounded.
Yeah.
Looking with our own eyes and seeing it pretty clearly that it looked really, really dirty. So here's Marvin Lewis on that.
I guess speaking of officials, the league is, you know, reviewing Burfict's fourth quarter.
No, they're not.
Sorry, what did you say?
No, they're not.
Okay, well, did you think that was a clean hit?
Well, he goes on the pump fake. You know, we are coaching him to, you know, for his own, you know, you want to keep his head up in order to make a better football play and not react as hard as he can. But, you know, he pumps fakes a couple times. He pumps fake a couple times. We end up getting sacks. And he pump faked us a couple times and made plays for them, which that was one of them. And, you know, but, you know, just from our coaching standpoint, you know, we want to make sure that we, as we come in to defend the ball, come in and be able to defend the ball with your arms a little better. You have a chance to get the ball loose and off of him if the ball were going there.
So any report then that the league is looking at it that Montez might face?
The league looks at every play, so that report would be very clear. You know, they look at every play that happens every game.
But then there's no concern with it?
No, there's no concern.
Suspension or anything?
No.
Because you feel like it was a good hit? Good play.
I'm not commenting. I said there's no concern.
The team can't do anything else.
Yeah.
So, you know, but again, this evolved through the game, Paul, where Rob Gronkowski ends up, he's the one flag for taunting. Of all that stuff that happened later, LeGarrette Blount was in the middle of a lot of that stuff. This was the first time, I guess, in 3 weeks that a team really tested Vontaze Burfict's resolve and his. Now, again, he didn't get hit with a flag. He was around, you know, but he was in it.
He was getting into the face.
Yes,
I mean, when Gronk is taunting, Burfict goes over and aggressively goes helmet to helmet against him.
So,
which fine, you know what? I don't.
You know, players jaw all the time, and that happens all the time, and you know, so that was interesting. I mean, they pushed him, pushed him, and you know, yeah, you'll. Well, I guess we'll have to see. But that's the thing, Paul, is like he can't. Anyone else can do that, I guess. He can't to me.
No,
and I understand he's Gronkowski's taunting Adam Jones and standing over him, and it looks. Carbon copy of what the NFL showed us in the preseason. The Buffalo Bills player standing over Adam Jones saying, that's taunting, that's a penalty.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get thrown. I understand there's a frustration there because it's like, oh, it's Adam Jones, Avantis, Burfict, it's double standard. Mm. Right? Well, Gronk did get the penalty later. He did.
But
he can't be, I don't know. He can't be that guy.
Because if he does it, he can get suspended.
Yeah.
And now you don't have him for a game again. Maybe it's who knows what game it is.
Right.
Maybe it's this Buffalo game that could be huge. Or maybe it's any game. Maybe it's Washington and London.
Right.
And you lose there, and now you're 2-5, and you're really screwed.
Right.
Or 3-5. You can't do it because of who you are and what it could end up meaning. You've got.
Right.
But the other, that's the question, though. It just, if you know that, it's only your third game back.
Yeah.
It's only the first game where you really played your full 100% type snap game, and you're already back in the mix. Aren't you just kind of that guy that's just what happens to you when you get in the mix?
Yeah.
When you get in the mix and your emotions start going, that's just the way you play.
Yeah.
It's who you are in the fight, and that's always been who he has been in the fight. To think that he's suddenly going to be able to come out after a three-game suspension and off-season of ridicule and stop being the person he's always been in the heat of battle,
right.
I don't know that that's realistic.
Yeah. And that's the interesting thing, Paul, because he's had a couple – I mean, at least to my recollection, this is the first time we've seen what you'd call the dirty play, right, or what the play that people are having issues with. He went high on Dak Prescott, hit him in the shoulder, big hit. You know,
that was almost an accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Dak Prescott thought, I don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah.
But right. I mean, you know, so up until this point, this goes back to what I said earlier about the Ezekiel Elliott. And then the reasoning that Marvin Lewis, you just heard from, given for that particular play on Martellus Bennett, he'd been on a pump fake. Well, you're seeing bad football plays. Which speaks to the larger issue of just bad defense.
Right.
Like, this linchpin, this one of your best players, is not playing well since he's been back. Where is he? Where's the big plays? He had a great sack.
He had a little run there where it was like, oh, and maybe you're seeing some
vibe,
where he was chasing guys down from behind.
He's been victimized way more and out of position way more. There was a play in the Miami game where he shot a gap that no one went to. And the running back picked up 11, 12 yards, kind of forgotten late because, you know, it was the Dolphins and whatever. But it was, I mean, I noticed it because it was wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be interesting. If he gets suspended, it's a huge deal, in my opinion.
Sure.
A fine, again, I mean, well, you know, fines haven't worked in the past.
If he let's throw this out here. Heck, maybe you're listening to this because you listen to the pod later in the week
and
whatever's already happened. Let's just run through that. If he got suspended, I would not appeal. I would sit the Browns game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would say, do it now. You don't want it against somebody else. You can beat the Browns with half of your team.
Yeah.
This
has been one of the more heated, I think, off-air conversations you and I have had about what happens if and when, maybe.
Yeah.
I thought for sure any sort of infraction would lead to a suspension immediately.
Yeah.
And you thought, no, suspension, he served, kind of clears the slate.
I feel like it should clear the slate a little bit. I mean, otherwise, do you just keep – does it go from to six? Play like this is a four-game suspension? I mean, you set this crazy precedent
right.
of three, and that was a culmination of stuff.
Right.
So are you counting all of that towards this? I mean, I guess with drug offenses, you do a little bit where your second offense is more. But is this the same?
Right, exactly.
It was such a weird precedent in the first place that I don't know where we're at with it.
Right, and well, it's the NFL.
It's the NFL. They're making up as they go along anyway.
Yeah, Vontaze Burfict could get 4 games for this, and Aqib Talib could get, you know, 1 game for poking guys in the eye again, even though he's done it 3 times. Like, it's just, who knows?
You really don't. You really don't know.
But you're right, though, Paul, because then we drift into that weird territory of suspensions, and then you say don't appeal. Well, he may feel real prosecuted and says, you know what, I'm going to file a motion in a local Supreme Court.
Right.
Who
knows?
That's been done.
It has been done.
Now, it doesn't really turn out that well for the player in the end, but, you know, it's been done.
Yeah.
That's opened a whole can of worms.
Yeah, and this one he did it. So, let's move on from that.
Tyler Eifert?
Come back. No, Jesus. I mean, seriously. Is that where we're at? Which topic are you most sick of?
I don't know if you noticed this over the weekend, Paul. I tweeted out the news that Tyler Eifert hit the rehab field on Friday.
Yeah.
15 minutes, zero reaction.
Really?
No retweets, no mentions.
Really?
Nothing. So I quote tweeted myself. It was like, hey, what does this mean? And then it blew up saying, I'm tired of this. I'm sick. Tell me when he's really practicing.
Right.
I was like, wow, Bengals fan. Bengals Twitter, at least.
Yeah.
I was like, that's like, that. I mean, if Twitter is sick of a topic, that's it. I mean, Harambe is still a thing. Harambe jerseys and jokes than Tyler Eifert.
Yes. It's just amazing.
You've outlasted Harambe.
Dude, Harambe is going to be around for another 5 to 10 years. That thing is not slowing down anytime. No, absolutely not.
So anyway, yeah. I think, yeah.
What would you rather have to write a story about right now? Harambe?
Oh.
An Eifert injury, or just the latest rehab field Eifert update. Like, you got to write 400 words. Harambe, Eifert, or Burfict's?
I'm so tired.
Burfict's suspension
I'm so tired of the Bengals topics that I'd have to
give
go
me Harambe.
With Harambe.
Give me Harambe.
At least I'll be giggling
Harambe
halfway
jersey
through.
Jersey sales.
Yeah. At least I'll be laughing through it, because it's the same. It's so repetitive with Eifert and Burfict. You know what I mean? It's just kind of the same stuff. You know.
And you're right, people. I think people are sick of it. Although this latest, I think there was a hope.
Yeah.
That Burfict would get through this year and maybe clean his act up a little bit.
Yeah.
Nah, that doesn't look like.
No,
But who knows? I mean, if this is the only thing that happens, maybe he'll be in the clear, but, you know, it's not a good look. Not a good look at all. All right, let's move on to in better news. Let's talk about the offensive line. Hey, the first round pick got benched. I mean, so you go over to the offensive side of the ball. We documented Cedric Obuehi's struggles he'd been having.
Yeah.
Particularly in the Dallas game. But, you know, the majority of this year, it was just his first season starting. You know, we talked about it before training camp started.
Yeah.
And then we went through some of the numbers with Pro Football Focus last week, and they're just appalling. He was on pace for set to get up 70 pressures. I mean, Andre Smith, who wasn't great last year, he only gave up 32.
Yeah.
It's been bad. A lot of whiffs.
Yeah.
Every play, it seems like Dalton's doing 1-2-3 and doing that lean forward with the right shoulder and having to roll out to the right because he's trying to push a guy around the back, which is exactly what happened on the play that he ended up basically got him benched. So it was in the third quarter. Bengals up 14-10. They have a completion that would have got him out to about the 30.
Yeah.
And Rob Ninkovich came over the right end, and Cedric Obuehi sort of got under him and pushed him. Ninkovich complained for a second.
Yeah, it was.
And he got the flag.
Yeah.
Was it questionable? Sure.
Yeah.
But
he took a known guy to the ground. That's the thing.
And the bottom line is, if you weren't constantly letting the dude run around the edge where you have to reach and throw him
because
you're so far out of position, you don't get yourself in a spot where they can call a hold that's questionable on you. And in fairness, I'll get to this a little more. I mean, Senator admitted that. He's like, he's not making an excuse about it. He was saying he went to the ground, he looked and complained to the ref, and the ref threw the flag for him. It's what it is.
Yeah.
But it's only because he was in the position to do it. So then what happens next play? Boom, safety, boom, momentum, Brady, gronk.
Yeah.
Good night. It's over.
Yeah.
When you had him where you wanted him, the momentum shifted right there. So the next series came out, and Eric Winston was out there.
Yeah.
Not the second round pick that was an offensive lineman in 2015.
Jake Fisher, I don't think they could have done that one.
No. He hasn't played well in the times he's been out there. He's been a guard. So they put out the veteran, as Marvin Lewis said after the game, wanted to try to settle Cedric down a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's bring in a few people here first. I want to bring in Marvin Lewis, talking about the decision-making, a little bit of Cedric Obwehi standing up and owning it with reporters on Monday when it was announced that he was going to be back starting again on Sunday, and a little bit of Clint Bowling talking about he had a similar experience his rookie year when he basically got benched three games in.
Yeah.
Anyway, so here's a compilation of those three talking sort of about the situation.
Decision-making of doing the move you did with Cedric yesterday, how much is there a reluctance at any point in doing that with a young player in particular?
Every one of these young players has had that happen to them that we've had here, you know, unfortunately or unfortunately, and they all come back from it, you know, and I think they all express that to him. Russell, you know, Zeit, you know, they all express that to him. Clint, you know, that there's been some point in their career early on where you know, they needed to stand and watch somebody else do it for a bit and, you know, focus back in. You know, it certainly happened at other spots as well.
Is that an easy thing to manage confidence? Or is it just a matter of just putting them back out there, or is it?
Well, we expect big things from him. And, you know, we're going to continue to coach him hard to get it done right and all the time. And, you know, that's what he's expected to do.
Do you anticipate him slating back in as a starter?
Yes.
Is there anything that surprised you, Sid? I mean, is there anything that's taken you by surprise in this sixth game?
I mean, it's definitely the harder in college, obviously. And so I just got to keep getting better and just keep picking up the speed and the strength of it and just, like I said, keep getting better.
What happened before they called the hold? Were you just trying to get Ninkovich to run him by Andy?
Yeah, I tried to run him by, but I was a little bit too underneath him. Like I said, I didn't get in better position and then do it. Kind of did it a little too early. Probably a little too late.
To get under. So I guess the refs got you for that, I guess.
Right? I mean, he kind of complained, and then I threw it kind of after that. So kind of the whole, I guess he saw the refs saw him kind of complaining a little bit.
That was right after the play?
Yeah.
Will it be tough, you think, after what happened Sunday, that if there is a bad play or two, that kind of looking over your shoulder, wondering if the change is coming again?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I can't look over my shoulder. Just keep playing and don't have any bad plays and just keep playing.
When you're on the sideline, did you notice anything that, you know, I guess Marv said, you know, sometimes it's, hey, let's watch somebody else do it just for a little bit. Is there anything you saw that made you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you watch guys like Eric and Will. You can tell they're playing the game a long time, and the game looks slow. So basically me just finding, getting to a point where the game is slow.
Nobody doubts your athleticism. I mean, obviously, you're one of the best athletes to ever play that position and you know, go into the combine and everything like that. What do you have to match with that athleticism? What do you have to...
I'll say strength, all of it. I mean, right now my biggest thing is part of the bull rush, which is getting stronger. I'll say biggest part of it is technique, technique with it. So every game I'm trying to master that technique.
Is that a, I mean, is the biggest part of that when you're young, is it about rebuilding your confidence, or was that a hard part for you? Or was that pretty easy to say, hey, I had a bad
no,
day,
you know, at that point in time, I feel like I was pretty naive to everything that was kind of going on. And, yeah. You know, the biggest thing at the end of the season is, you know, I was able to talk to Paul, and he was just trying to told me what I needed to do. He told me exactly what I needed to do to get better and to play in this league, and that was what I focused off in the offseason. You know, right now, unfortunately, it doesn't really have that leeway as far in the middle of the season, but, you know, the reality is it's a hard game, and it's something that, you know, everybody has grown against at some point.
How much of... I mean, you only lost one player. I mean, you switch out Cedric for Andre. I mean, how much of just even having one new guy takes getting used to for everybody? Or is it different, like, you know, for you compared, obviously compared to Zeit, but, you know, does everybody kind of get affected by trying to get that whole communication
going? I think it just depends. It, you know, every situation's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Obviously, with Andre and Kevin, you know, I'm sure there's some growing pains. And they first started the same thing with Whit and I. At some point, you got to be able to play football and get that practice and really work on it.
The bottom line of the message is this stuff happens.
Right.
The bottom line for this year's Bengals is, well, crap then. It's going to continue to happen. He's not going to suddenly not be a guy in his first year starting.
Right.
I mean, how many leaps and improvements by leaps and bounds can you make just by getting yanked? And what does it say about how egregious it really has been that in the middle of that game, and maybe the most critical point, they just take their 2015 first-round pick and take him out?
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting, Paul. I think because in a lot of ways, I don't know, maybe, oh boy, he was kind of paid for the sins of a lot of guys. You know, you could argue that a lot of guys, a lot of vets, should have been pulled off the field at some times with some of the stuff that's gone on.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot easier to do with a guy in his sixth start who's having a bad year, bad penalty. Even upon film review, I'm of the belief, Paul, that it wasn't a hold, but you're right. He was in, A, the wrong position, B, he also fell on top of the guy. It looked like he tackled him. I mean, it, you know, in real speed, it looks like a bad play. So it's just kind of easy to, I don't know. But you're right, though. I mean, it's just like we mentioned Josh Shaw's issues earlier. I mean, you're seeing a lot of the growing pains with some guys in the whole, like, draft and develop. Like, the develop part is kind of painful.
Yeah. But they've – when they've done this, they just – the last few years, they've been fairly veteran. The last time they had to really develop like this was 2012, yeah. Really, where they had the guys that they had drafted in 11 and – Marvin Jones's and Mohamed Sanu's and some of the younger
Bowling
guys.
Really came Bowling, in. Yeah, and Zeitler was
Bowling
a,
and Zeitler yeah. came in. You know, Zeitler started as a rookie,
right?
In 2012, I mean, those guys they had to endure some bad. Zeitler had some bad days too. But that's the last time they really had to do that. This group they've become a veteran team,
right?
Well, then you chop off so much of the veteran and insert your young guys in here, the development is happening again, and it's bad everywhere. But, you know, what do you do here? You're just going to continue to have problems at right tackle, but you just hope he gets better.
Yeah, you do.
Maybe this will be a wake up call, but
yeah, and I guess the thing, you know, and I thought Marvin was really good on Monday, Paul. I mean, and he said, he's like, look, six games in, it's time to reap the six games of experience. All these NFL guys have said over, even, you know, once you play even one NFL game, you're not a rookie anymore. It's over.
Yeah.
You know, now you know. I in the open to this topic, I said, I thought even after those initial one-on-one struggles early against New England, there you saw how good Sed can be. that athleticism across when they were pulling out, even in protections, kind of switching around. It's like the flashes, which you're like, wow, there it is. Yeah. But you're right, though. When you're trying to win games and you fashion yourself a Super Bowl contender.
When you have no margin for error now.
It's like
we were talking about. When you have no margin for error now, those guys just got to suddenly do it or your season's over. Yeah. And they know it.
Yeah.
That their season is basically hinging on a bunch of guys who haven't gotten it to this point getting it.
Where would they be without 14?
Dude, Andy Dalton is keeping them afloat on offense.
He is, talk about extending
everything
plays.
Everything is going wrong with him.
Right.
All around him, and he has been a star. He has been an absolute star if you consider everything he's had to deal with this year. I mean, he's not going to get anywhere near as much credit this year compared to what he did last year. I think he's been better.
Yeah.
I think he's been better this year than he was last year, and he was great last year.
Yeah, and this goes back to, in the end, scoring points, and that continues to be an issue, but it's all part of it. There's a reason they're not scoring from end goal situations. Offensive line issues, whiffing blocks, missing assignments. Where's Tyler Boyd? Can't get open.
Yep.
We finally saw a little bit of those contested catches and some good plays against New England, actually, that we probably haven't seen since Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Right. Brandon LaFell finally shook a guy in the back of an end zone.
Yeah.
And actually, he's gotten
open. Great throw and catch.
Yeah, which that looked like old school. That looked like last year when, you remember, when Andy Dalton moved everyone around in Baltimore to get Tyler Eifert. That matchup he saw, LaFell was tight. He moved him out because the safety was over by A.J. Green, and it was kind of vintage, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But this is all related. And I get, and that's why I think there's some things here that they can build on, but I'll just keep going back to the defense, Paul. I you and I agreed. We thought this was Paul Gunther's unit, the year for them to shine and really take, lead this team the first half of the season. Offense hasn't caught up to begin with, and defense has just been,
Yeah, it's been the last 2 weeks in particular.
Yeah.
And really, even more than that. Yeah. I mean, that's not
it. And this goes back to
outside of Miami when they had, three dudes named Joe on their offensive line.
Right.
And, they're just awful. I mean,
This goes back, defensively. And I know it's going to sound like I'm just harping on these guys. But honestly, it's the most 10 of 11 starters. And Sean Williams, who was
a half starter.
Who they paid.
Yeah.
And, look, Josh Shaw, Quez Denard, whatever. I mean, those are high draft picks that have played. And you mentioned the Oboye being in position. Most corners, you can maybe argue, don't get that illegal contact that Dre had. It was kind of, he didn't hold him up really. But it was still 6 yards down the field.
He put his hands on him down the field.
He put himself in that position.
That's
right.
That's a lack of awareness of game situation.
And even the same thing
with Adam.
Right.
He still has his hand on the guy's shoulder pad as he's cutting against him.
Right.
And gets a piece of jersey and shoulder pad.
And
Put them in a situation where they can throw that flag on third and
12.
12 and 18.
Yeah. So it's just that's the thing where I'm just – and that's why I guess I'm more surprised at those two penalties than Cedric Oboye he's holding. I mean? Because, again, here's a pro bowler and a 10-year vet. Here's a 5-year vet who's looking to cash in, making $8 million this year.
Second year starting.
And essentially, your rookie in a sixth start.
Yep.
So you know what I mean. I guess that's why I'm really going in on Paul Gunther's unit. It's just because I don't see the excuses there.
Yeah, I agree. There shouldn't be any.
Right.
There shouldn't be.
And this goes back to our conversation on 55. I don't see the excuses there.
I don't see excuses there. Interesting thing. This is just kind of a side note. You mentioned Darquez Denard. Look at the contributions they're getting right now from their last 4 first-round draft picks this year. Tyler Eifert, none. Darquez Denard, none. He got replaced by Josh Shaw in the rotation. Josh Shaw went over top
gunner.
Of him as the to the third corner, so Darquez is now relegated to the fourth corner. He's in his prime.
Yeah.
And Josh Shaw leaps over top of him. I mean, Darquez played about 10% of the snaps against New England when they were out there in – and only basically when they were out there, four corners and a dime. Cedric Away, who got benched, and William Jackson, who's out injured.
Yeah.
You cannot replace losing veterans without your first round picks from the last 4 years contributing. And they have gotten they've gotten negative, really, if you look at what Cedric has cost them in spots, and Darquez has cost them in Pittsburgh with Sammy Coates. And you just can't overcome. That's why this league is so tough to keep winning, because you have to hit time and time and time again on drafts. And to have a year, which, whether by bad luck or bad play, you are getting nothing from your last four first-round picks, you can't overcome what the Bengals lost this offseason.
No, and I don't know if Bengals fans want to hear these two teams in terms of the dark cloud that looms when you throw a stat like that. Just go to profootballreference.com or Wikipedia, pull up the last drafts of the Indianapolis Colts and the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
If you want to know what a lack of production from first-round picks in the last handful of years can mean to a team, just Google those teams.
It sinks.
See what's happened to them.
Those guys have to come in and play great, or you have to dominate the back end of the draft. Good luck
or,
on that.
Or flips the other way. Your third rounder becomes a Pro Bowler, and it kind of evens out. But we haven't seen that either.
No, you're right. And so, you know, that's all part of this. And there's good news.
Cleveland.
Oh, hey, God. Get well.
They got more guys in the hospital than.
Yeah. Let me just tell you. Do you realize the kind of emergency Bengals fan surgery we will have to do on the BBP next week if the unthinkable happens?
Wow.
I mean,
who's ready for London? You couldn't see a team run to an international flight
fast
enough.
They might not come back. They're going to decide, we want to be the team that stays in London.
Either that or change the plans instead of the Thursday afternoon departure. It's like, we're leaving Monday morning.
We're leaving, No, actually, we're leaving right now while there's riots outside of the stadium. Here's the thing. If there's some struggles during any early portions of that game, the boos are coming out.
Oh, yeah, they are. This team has been away for 2 weeks.
They've been away for 2 weeks.
Trucked.
And people have gotten real sad.
Real.
Trust me.
And angry.
We've seen it.
We've seen the fire, everybody.
I saw more general apathy and sadness this past Sunday, and then the rage was Dallas.
Would have filled a factory?
No.
Okay.
No, it is
right,
nowhere
just
near.
All right, just making sure.
Look, that's a whole different. This is a whole new level of sad is coming to Paul Brown Stadium.
Oh, the boo. Yeah, there is little margin for. You know, they talked about starting fast in New England, and I thought they did, but you know, you need to. And here's the thing: Hugh Jay is pulling out all the stops. We're going to see onside kicks, fake punts,
everything.
Terrell Pryor doing whatever.
Whatever easy does.
You know, and because Hugh J knows. He knows he's got garbage to work with.
They've been competitive a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of hung
around. Three losses
Tennessee,
by a
the Dolphins,
score.
They were there at the end. And they haven't been getting completely trucked.
Yeah, Baltimore.
But
you know,
they've
got
nothing on their offense. I mean, it's.
No.
It's.
Hey, you know what might be interesting to find for the first time in a while? 97.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know. Good as time as any for Geno Higgins to kind of reappear.
I would assume that he could do something against these Yahoos that they have lining up on the line right now. I mean, even Joel Bitonio, who was probably their second best lineman behind Joel Thomas, he gone.
Yeah.
He's out now. They got who's the guy Poyer that's in the hospital now?
They're starting safety, so they might have a rookie. First of all, there's only three safeties on the depth chart, and one of them's in the hospital. So the other guy is going to be a rookie, and then maybe they'll sign someone off the street. Their starting guard is the guy that the Patriots just cut because he's garbage.
Yeah.
And it's like the reason Terrell Pryor looks like he's having a fantastic season, Paul, if you watch some of these highlights, is because the quarterback, whoever it is running around and just firing it down the field.
Firing it down the field to Pryor.
And then Terrell Pryor makes some great athletic play, and I'll give him credit, he's making them.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's a mess up there.
They're competitive. It's like a.
All right, so Browns are bad. We've established that.
Yeah.
You know who's not bad? My Jags. That's so jaggy.
Yeah.
It was, you know what wasn't so, you know what was jaggy? Was the Bears.
Yeah.
The Bears, in a way that only bad teams can can lose games, just laying right next to a dude on the ground and not touching him, then he jumps up and runs the extra 30 yards with 2 minutes left for the win, as the Jags did. Doesn't matter. Counts as a win. Yep. That's two. Six more to go.
Wow.
Here come the Jags.
You need to get off the floor like that Jags and run 30. It's a long 30 yards, my friend.
Can you look worse and win a game than they did? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. No. They play a lot of bad clubs.
They do.
They get Houston. They get the Colts. They got Tennessee's.
Yeah.
There's plenty of time for the Jags to get to 8 wins. I swear. All right. Well, listen, we got to let you know, though, if you are tracking crazy things like the Jags, yeah. if you're in a bad place, you got to remember to get in the action. You play like the pros at mybookie.net. It's the most exciting online experience for sports fans. That's where it's at.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, Paul, and once the games get going, you get to play live as it goes. They update things in real time. You can get in on player. You like the teams. I like the players.
Yeah.
So I like the player props that you can get at mybookie.net.
Weird props.
Yes.
So many weird props. Just remember, it's optimized for your smartphone. So wherever you're at, if you're drinking at the bar, whatever you're doing, you continue to play at mybookie.net. So go online, type in mybookie in your browser, sign up today. Use the promo code BEAT, B-E-A-T, as in Bengals Beat Podcast, to be entered into their $1 million prize pool. Or you can call 844-722-2387. Join the thousands of online players already playing. Only the biggest, only the best, only at MyBookie. Sign up today. All right. So, let's get out of here.
there's a part, honestly, the thing that comes to mind only for the hook is the Meatloaf song. He'll do anything for love, but you can't do that.
You can't.
You just can't do that.
he just wants a little love, but you can't do that.
No.
You can't take a dude's knees out. It's good. It's an excellent point. And I'm pretty sure we've never in the history of this podcast, whether in the previous editions of Scribe Session or as the BBP, have we ever played Meatloaf.
Old school Meatloaf.
Old school Meatloaf. Mr. Loaf. This is... Oh, that's awesome. All right. Well, Mr. Loaf, you can take us out. And we will... Remember, we got the BBP 2 coming up on Thursday. And we will get to all of your specific Cleveland Browns preview and PFF. And Andrew Whitworth is our guest on BTS. That is on Tuesday night at the Hoffer House every week, 7 o'clock. So we'll have Whit down there. We'll have the hot seat from that. So anyway, let's bring in Meatloaf and have a good one. We will talk to you on Thursday. I would do anything for love. I'll never lie to you, and that's a fact. But I'll never forget the way you feel right now. Oh no, no way. And I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. No, I won't do that. Anything for love. Oh, I would do. But I won't do that. No, I won't do that. Some days it don't come hard. Some days it don't come at all. And these are the days that never end. And some nights you're breathing fire.
and some nights you're talking nice. Some nights you're like nothing I've ever seen before. We'll again. Maybe I'm crazy. Oh, it's crazy and it's true. I know you can see.